Well, thank you everyone for coming out this morning. We are all gathered here today to talk about our love for this country, of those who choose to volunteer to serve us here at home and abroad. And we have done so today not on a military holiday or a patriotic holiday, but because we know that it takes more than that. So before I begin, I'd like to personally thank Senator Dick Durbin for taking the time to come to Jacksonville today. He's a man of great integrity who has always had the backs of our military, and I'd like to thank him for coming out today.
Thank you, Jason. Thank you.
I'd also like to thank the numerous veterans who are standing with us today, because these are individuals who have shown the dedication and the loyalty to this great nation that we call home. So if you would join me in a round of applause for our veterans, please. It's no understatement to say that as a nation, we've come a long way as far as our understanding of what combat does to young men and women who serve overseas. Vietnam veterans came home to an entirely different experience than those who serve today. So thankfully, social attitudes have evolved to the point where individuals in this country can still be critical of the war while still supporting the troops. And I think that's an important distinction, and we should be glad that that progress has been made. Unfortunately, too often, many of those believe that individuals who serve overseas and are wounded in body, mind, and spirit are promptly taken care of when they come home. Such assumptions could not be farther from the truth. The reality is that today in this nation, we are quick to wage wars. We are quick to send our soldiers, sailors, and Marines to foreign lands to fight the enemy. But we are woefully unprepared when those young men and women return home bearing the wounds of war that are often invisible. So here's some statistics that I think everyone should know. Since 2001, over 320,000 service members have been forced out of the military with post-traumatic stress, traumatic brain injury, or military sexual trauma. They are kicked to the curb like a piece of garbage and denied complete access to VA care. I know that Senator Durbin is aware of this, finds the situation unacceptable, and has taken steps to remedy it. What is important to know also is that the services don't treat individuals alike. Thanks to a group called Swords to Plowshares, a veterans advocacy group in San Francisco, they've compiled the data of discharges since 2001, and what we know is Marines are 10 times as likely to get discarded from the military than their counterparts in the Air Force. We know that Iraq and Afghanistan veterans are tossed aside at twice the rate of Vietnam veterans and four times the rate of World War II service members. So, if anything, the problem has only gotten worse. And so we really need to be aware that this is occurring. We still do not know a lot about what post-traumatic stress is, what traumatic brain injuries do, but we have to try. And so what we can do is, I know that the people of Morgan County are some of the most patriotic around. We see it when we do our parades, when we carry our colors, people stand. People in Morgan County love this country and they respect veterans. One way that we can get involved here to get the backs of those who serve is to institute a veterans treatment court, which I know that Senator Durbin is fully in support of. Let me give you a little back history here in the state of Illinois. In 2010, our state legislature passed the Service Members and Veterans Treatment Court Act, which enabled all courts in this state, including the one here in this county, to create a veterans treatment court. And what that is rather than an adversarial system, which is normally a prosecutor and a defendant, you work as a team with the prosecutor, with local veterans representatives, mentors, counselors, to get the veterans the services and the care that they need. Because our state, like our nation, has recognized that we owe a special debt of gratitude to those who serve. And when they are injured, it is our moral obligation to care for them when they return home. Unfortunately, here in the state of Illinois, our state lawmakers prevailed in passing the law, but no action was taken in the judicial branch. And unfortunately, the veterans of the Seventh Circuit, including Sangamon County, Morgan County, Macoupin County, Greene County, Jersey County, veterans are not benefiting from these laws. To make matters worse, the legislature recognized this summer that not enough courts were taking action. So they changed the law, one word in the law. They changed the word from may to shall and made the Veterans Treatment Courts mandatory by January of 2018. That means in this county, we have to have one created in the next year. I am the person who will lead that fight and create the Veterans Treatment Court. We've already assembled a team of dedicated veterans who want to take care of one another, and I know that the people of this county will certainly get behind that endeavor. So, without further ado, I appreciate you all coming out, and it's my privilege and honor to introduce Senator Dick Durbin.
Thanks, Tyson.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. I have to bring this down to Durbin level. Tyson's a pretty tall fella. And thank you, Tyson, for your leadership today and for your service to our country and for bringing us together. I speak for myself, and I'm sure I speak for Rick Verticchio, who's a candidate for appellate court, that we're honored to be here to say a kind word about our veterans, but also, more importantly, to talk about how we address the real challenges that our veterans face. I can't tell you how many people come to me and say, what kind of country do you live in? If a young man or woman is willing to take an oath to risk their life for that country, and then they come home after that experience and live on the streets, or they can't get into a veteran's hospital, they can't get the care that they deserve, or they can't get a helping hand to get a job, finish their education, start employment, start a business. That's a valid question, and it's one that really puts us all to the test. All of us salute the flag and do it with great honor. All of us stand up and honor those who've served our country. But the question Tyson raises today is, will we do more? Will we accept responsibility to really do something significant? Rick Verticchio knows this because he's a lawyer himself and practices law in this area. And we know that across the state of Illinois, 10 counties have already shown leadership, Tyson. They have created veterans courts, one as close as Madison County. And it makes a difference. And here's what it does. When a veteran is arrested and charged, they're brought into the court for a meeting and really a discussion, not just about the crime that's being charged, but the circumstances of that veteran. And many times it turns out that that veteran is in a struggle to find their way back home, back to their family, back to the what we call a normal life, and they haven't received the help they've needed. And so special effort is made in these courts to divert them from the basic court system into a helping relationship in the veterans court. You know what? It makes a dramatic difference. It turns out when somebody cares and offers a helping hand through this court process, that you can turn a life around and give a veteran some hope and put them back on their feet. I look across our state and I think to myself, homeless veterans, unacceptable in this day and age. Unacceptable. Well, many of those veterans find themselves in courts. And you ask yourself, well, what's the matter? Why are you living on the street? The Veterans Administration did a survey and they found out that in many instances, it was pretty easy to identify the causes. depression, chronic pain, insomnia, failed relationships, sometimes substance abuse. All of those things, most of those things, can be addressed and helped. What Tyson Manker has done here in Morgan County is to say, I'm not going to wait to be told by the state legislature when the startup date is. I'm going to get in front of this issue. It shows a real commitment on his part to the veterans. It shows real leadership on his part that he wants Morgan County to be a leader in this effort. I think that's a good indication of what he would do as state's attorney. He asked me to come today, and I said more than happy to do it. I've worked on some of my own veterans' issues. I won't dwell on them. One of them is a caregivers program. Some may be acquainted with this. Some of the veterans may have heard of it. But what it says is if you're home and you're disabled and you need a helping hand, but you want to stay with your family, with your spouse, or with your parents, we're going to help you do it. We're going to help the caregiver in that household get the necessary medical training to help that veteran. We're going to give the caregiver in that household an opportunity to have a couple weeks off a year. It sounds like not much, but let me tell you, if it's a 52-week commitment, 2 weeks where you know there's a visiting nurse who will take care of that vet so that you can have some time to recharge the batteries is an important thing. And finally, if your family's struggling, even with the disabled veterans benefits, if you're struggling to make it, we'll make a modest contribution to the caregiver family so they can stay home, right where the veteran wants to be. So you see, there are solutions that involve families and local people pitching in. It isn't a top-down Washington decision, it's a bottom-up decision of grateful people like myself who stand in front of these veterans, humbled by their service to our country, and say, we made a promise to you and we're gonna keep it. Thanks, Tyson, for inviting me to come over today.
Thank you, Senator.
See if they have any questions.
I guess we can, if there are any inquiries or statements from the crowd for Senator Durbin, myself, or Mr. Verticchio.
I said a clarification. The last home care program you were talking about, is that the Veterans Choice program you were talking about? What's the difference?
It's called the Caregivers Program.
Okay.
And it works through the Veterans Administration. And they, at the veterans' hospitals, they let the families know that if the veteran is not in a veterans' facility, but is home, and they need a helping hand, that caregivers program will be there. And I'm going to say this, and it sounds totally political, but it's not. This was not my idea. It was a bill that was introduced by Senator Hillary Clinton. And when she left to become Secretary of State, I called her and said, do you mind if I take over this bill? She said, be my guest. And we enacted it into law. We're trying to expand it now. It just covers basically Iraq, Afghanistan veterans. We want to expand it to include all veterans. But that's what it's all about. So I'm not sure the veterans choice, I know what you're referring to. And that is if the veterans' medical facilities have a long waiting list or are unable to treat the veteran, they have an option to go to private hospitals and doctors. It was kind of an emergency move because the Veterans Administration had not moved up to a level of performance where we were happy. There were too long waiting periods. But it turns out Veterans Choice Care is extremely expensive compared to VA care. So we're hoping that the VA can rise to the challenge, meet the numbers, reduce the waiting periods, and we can reduce the added expense to the Veterans Administration from the Choice Program. We're right in the middle of that transition now. Well, that's easy.
No kidding.
I'm afraid to ask these guys for a question.
I have a concern I'd like to share with you.
Well, of course. Come on, step up.
Okay. Well, I'm not trying to hog the podium, but you can't hear me without the mic.
Introduce yourself.
My name is Rob Stamp. I'm a retired captain from the United States Army after 26 years of service and more than one combat campaign, and nobody should have to serve more than one. But that's what I signed up for, and I'm proud to have done it. I needed some medical care in July, and I went to my VA provider, and I like the VA. I think the VA does a good job for the limited resources they have. And they did not have a neurologist to send me to in the VA system locally in July. So they referred me to the Veterans Choice Program. And the first available appointment in that program was October the 3rd. What? It's not working. It's a stopgap, as the senator said. The right answer is to provide the VA with the resources it needs to take care of our nation's veterans, because they are the best capable of doing it. They know the specific problems that we have better than anybody else. So let's fund them and equip them and give them the people that they need to take care of us. That's my point.
That's good. Thank you. Thank you much. Let me, I'd like to respond. Let me explain what has happened. Most of us saw the movie Patton. You remember that movie where he went into the field hospital and he saw the soldier on the cot? He said, "What's wrong with you?" The soldier said, "My nerves are shot." And he slapped him and said, "Get back with your unit." That was how we viewed PTSD in World War II. And it isn't until very recently that we realized this is a serious matter, that many of the veterans bring memories and experiences home with them that aren't visible, but really impact their lives. So it meant the Veterans Administration had to ramp up, because now that's become, as Tyson mentioned, a major concern for returning veterans. But that's not the only thing. When it came to Agent Orange, I know we have some Vietnam vets here behind me. When it came to Agent Orange, we finally were able to correlate exposure to Agent Orange and about a dozen different diseases and problems. And we said, no questions asked, we cover them. Come to the VA if you were exposed to Agent Orange in any way, shape, or form, and you have one of these conditions, we're going to treat you. It was the right thing to do. But in both of those instances, what we were doing was expanding the responsibilities of VA. I'm glad we did. But we haven't funded them, as the captain mentioned to you. We've got to fund the VA so that it can respond as promised to these veterans when they come home. We're doing the right thing, but we're too slow in responding. Congress has to do a better job funding.
Hear, hear.
Okay. Anyone else? Well, that's good.
All right.
Take it away.
Well, again, it's just, I cannot reiterate more how important it is. As the senator is talking about the VA and all these other things, it's difficult to grasp often at the local level how we can affect the VA, other than speaking with senators like Senator Durbin. But what we can do here locally is do what those who have had the opportunity to do for the last 6 years have failed to do, and that is put in place a Veterans Treatment Court for the benefit of those who served. Because not only is it the moral thing to do, as George Washington said, the willingness of which young men and women will serve depends upon how they view the treatment of previous generations who also served. And I think that's a very important distinction with an all-volunteer military force. What kind of a signal are we sending to future generations of veterans? So I think it's important that we take this step. So. Again, thank you all for coming out, and have a wonderful day.
Thanks, Tyson.
Thank you. I know you've been a leader in the field, and I'm glad I had an opportunity to bring you to your attention, because it is a stopgap measure that you meant, that you said.
Do that or not?